Mesdames et messieurs, ladies and gentlemen, guten Abend, bonsoir, good evening. Wie geht's? Comment ça va? Do you feel good? Ich bin euer conférencier. Je suis votre compère. I am your host and sage.
Good evening. This is Mae Brussel in Carmel, California. It's tape number 420, side B, December 21st, 1979.
Leave your troubles outside. So, life is disappointing. Forget it. In here, life is beautiful.
I want to speak to you for a minute or two on keeping the bibliographies of the tapes and the sheets that accompany these tapes. Many of you have heard the radio programs. I've done this, going the eighth year. But since March of 77, there has been a bibliography that has accompanied each tape cassette. I have a hole puncher. You can cut them with a scissors and keep a three-hole notebook. And I put these sheets in order each week, in the chronological order of the dates. And then I make other copies of them and break them into subjects such as the John Kennedy assassination, Jonestown, the disappearance of CIA National Security Agent Paisley, the Nazi connections, the Rockefeller connections, and I break them into major subject matters that I try to cover continuously and keep updated on, and then I copy those sheets and put them also in the subjects if I can. And that's a good way to look up various tapes that you want quickly if you have them broken down into subjects, and maybe someday we'll get somebody to help index the names and items that are discussed each week. Those of you that have followed the Jonestown tapes for the past year know that I've done many tapes on the boys from, I call them the boys from Guyana. I believe that they were medical experimentations continued by Joseph Mengele and the CIA, the Nazi war criminal who's living in South America. He's been in Brazil quite a good time, many years in and out of Brazil, Mengele, and also traveling in Argentina and Chile. And I believe that those people killed down in Jonestown had to be killed, because if they were allowed to come home, once they got down there, we'd find many of them in a state of medical experimentation. I did three or four tapes on Colonia Dignidad, the comparison between the Nazi place in Chile, where the top Nazis are torturing and experimenting and sending out assassination teams, Operation Condor, the expose recently briefly written up by Jack Anderson, and the comparisons to Jonestown, where innocent people are mind-controlled and forced to sign confession slips of political assassinations. And I could see a link in the tapes I did on Colonia Dignidad of Chile to Brazil to Guyana and to West Germany. Well, last week, just this last week, in the Associated Press story, last Saturday, December the 15th, a story broke of Simon Wiesenthal, the man who keeps searching for Nazi war criminals, who says that Mengele is located right now at Dignidad Colony, a ranching community established by German immigrants after World War II, situated 180 miles south of San Diego. So Wiesenthal is now trying to get Mengele extradited. He was living in Paraguay and Brazil. But it's interesting that the time that Jack Anderson story breaks and that I've been pushing to expose people to the Colonia Dignidad and the assassination teams, that now Wiesenthal is pinpointing that Mengele is at least down at Colonia Dignidad at this time. Of course, he just takes his two little feet and walks across the border, and he's in Argentina, and he's protected. Joseph Mengele was one of the most notorious persons because he was a doctor, a physician at Auschwitz who did these experimentations. He lived openly in Germany. In Bavaria, nobody bothered him in the 1950s, and then quickly he had to get, in 1959 of August, extradition papers and went to Argentina and got protection of Perón. In Argentina, when they caught on that the Mengele's farm equipment company run by his family also housed the notorious doctor from Auschwitz. Imagine him living in Bavaria until the middle 60s, actually, and then went down to Argentina. According to the Los Angeles Times article last year, he was seen a number of times in southern Brazil. There are 80,000 German nationals there, 2 million people of German descent, and he would return in the 60s. He went to his father's funeral in Germany, And he's been able to travel all over the world, and this Nazi, and one of his little nests is that Colonial Dignitat. And because he's notorious for medical experimentations, which I said were linked to Colonial Dignitat, and referred to Jonestown as the boys from Guyana, it would be terribly important to get Mengele and make him surface now and see where his experimentations are going. The book, The Boys from Brazil, and the movie that was taken from the book are about Joseph Mengele. And again, if you saw the movie, the surroundings there of the private Air Force base, not Air Force base, but for private planes to land, and the on a river with boats going in and out, Mengele's headquarters depicted in this movie were very similar to Jim Jones' headquarters in Guyana. There's a new book out called The Spider Web by Joseph Persico, Crown. It's $10. I haven't bought it yet. I just read a review. It's supposed to be the true story, although they use it as a novelette form. It's a code name, Odessa the Spider, of people, Germans, the Fourth Reich, all over the world, and how they use the engraving of money to counterfeit money, of English money and American money and German money during the process of World War II so that they could escape and start the Fourth Reich. If they lost that war, they would have the means to start and rebuild the Reich again. The story's about a Jewish man, Julius Goldhammer, who's an engraver, and in exchange for the Gestapo not killing his wife and child, he makes the plates for the counterfeit money, and then they go ahead and kill his family anyway. And this is the story of an investigation of Dachau and Auschwitz and how the German government preferred 60 million Nazis out on the streets, the crowds, rather than communists coming to their doorsteps. And this is about the engraving of counterfeit money. That's one of the items I brought up before that Khomeini was complaining about the plans to overthrow Iran again by the CIA, and that the embassy had been offered or was in the business of getting counterfeit money that would break the banks of Iran and leave them bankrupt. And they caught the Americans in the process one more time again, which was typical of the Nazi way of financing their next emergence, which could take place all over the world. Mengele's was consumed with the study of twins, experimentations of their bodies, cutting them up alive to see how they felt pain, and different parts of their anatomies and brains to compare the two. Speaking of Mengele's and twins, there's a long article in the Washington Post, December the 10th, 1979, on identical twins, and there is the Star of David on the page and a swastika, and it's about two brothers who were separated at the time of the war, and one became a Nazi and the other is Jewish, and one exhorted Goebbels and worked for the Third Reich, and the other brother was able to leave and separated himself from the Nazis. And it's about a reunion, a photograph in the Washington Post of the two brothers getting together long after World War II and having diametrically opposite political opinions. I mentioned on the tape a few weeks ago about a Nazi war criminal, Reinhard Heydrich. He was the head of chief of Hitler's Nazi police, the head of the Secret Service, the intelligence arm of Adolf Hitler's regime. He was president of Interpol, that was the Nazi police system from 1940 to 1942, and allegedly Heydrich was assassinated, and then Mr. Kaltenbrunner took his place, head of Interpol. Kaltenbrunner later was hung at Nuremberg for war crimes in 1946. And it was in that newsletter, Double Eagle, by Mr. Galinowski, that he claimed that Heydrich didn't die in 1942, that he came to the United States and continued writing in the United States and setting up the network for the Fourth Reich. The counterfeit money was out, and they were setting up their network, that spider, the Odessa, all over the world. And there's a photograph. I received several photographs from a very good historian, a student, a listener of the tapes, who got her books together and sent me pictures. I have a book, The Rescue of the Romanovs, by this guy Richards, but it's a paperback book. And she got a hold of the hardbound book, and there's a picture of Mr. Heydrich or Guy Richards, if it is the same person. And then she got pictures from Galen Spy of the Century. I had those. And another book on Heydrich put out by Ballantyne. And while this one picture was taken much later in life, when you hold them together and you look at the eyes and the chin and the hairline and the eyebrows and the nose and the ears, you could almost believe, or you could be ready to believe, that the article in the newsletter Double Eagle is accurate, that this could easily be Guy Richards, could be this Heydrich that came to the United States in 1942. The similarities are so tremendous. The biography of Richards at Yale or his education really means very little. I have two biographies of E. Howard Hunt, who worked for CIA counterintelligence 21 years, one Who's Who in American Authors and just another one in Who's Who. And the rearrangement of the families and the education in the years are all shuffled around, and they're speaking about the same person with different names and different education and military service and so forth. So we know the intelligence community makes up these dummy biographies, but these photographs of Guy Richards and Heydrich are just tremendously similar, and I really appreciate the effort that was made. Some of you are just wonderful in sending books, articles, and magazines and filling in pieces of information I never had and never have time to accumulate myself. There's so much here. So there is this interesting appearance, and maybe in time we'll find out among those corpses that didn't really die, those people that survived, although the media said they died, we may be able to add the name of Heydrich and realize that that was Richards who'd come to the United States. I don't want to leave the end of this year and my next to last tape of 1979 thinking that everything was all bad. Heavens forbid. I tried to think of some of the good things that happened this year, and there weren't many, but there were some. And if you add them all up, maybe there was as much good news as bad. I don't. There was a long article, Associated Press story, December 16th, 1979. Wasn't a very good year for 12 mighty rulers. It goes into the crimes and murders of Pol Pot and the responsibility for millions of deaths under his regime. The Shah of Iran, who was removed, and the deaths and torture under his regime. Eric Gehry of Granada, who was charged with murder and fraud, and while he was visiting New York, was ousted. Idi Amin, who was notorious for killing allegedly over 200,000 people during his eight-year rule. In June, a junior Air Force officer in Ghana overthrew the military regime of Akufo, and who was executed June 26. And, of course, there was Somoza, who ripped off all the millions of dollars left in his country and was responsible for killing between 20 and 40,000 of the Sandinista. He's down in Paraguay with the Nazi war criminals, meeting with Mengele's and Borman and all the others, I suppose. Somoza is still living in luxury, servant swimming pool, and so forth. But I don't think even being exiled in the mansion where Juan Perón was, that he's as comfortable as he would like to be. August the 8th, Mr. Gioga, I don't know if I pronounced that right. He had a decade of terror in Equatorial Guinea and killed tens of thousands of people, most of the intellectuals. He was executed by September the 29th. And September 14th in Afghanistan, President Nur Mohammad Taraki was killed in a bloody Muslim rebellion there, fatally wounded in a palace shootout. September the 21st, Bokassa of the Central African Republic, with close links to the French government and bringing down the French government recently in a scandal, was removed from office. Bokassa implemented, in quotes, medieval punishments, cut off ears, club criminals, slaughtered 100 children who protested wearing school uniforms. He's down the Ivory Coast. They won't extradite him. He's been charged with mass murder and cannibalism. And October 15th, Carlos Huberto Romero, president of El Salvador, was overthrown. There's still a bloody battle going on. 35 of the leftists were killed this week. There's a lot of agitation, but at least the president of El Salvador was out. And, of course, October 26th in South Korea, President Park Chung-hee was killed. Seven people are being charged with his murder. But the CIA and the government that we put into power along with him also killed him, and now they're being charged for murder. And in Bolivia, the government changed hands November 1st. And I haven't had a chance to talk about the Bolivian government. There's a woman who's the president of Bolivia now, and I do want to go into that in time eventually on the tapes, because most of the Latin American countries, like the Muslim countries, are very sexist, and the Catholic Church and the place of the woman is not very high up in the scale of action or control in the political scene. But there's a woman now as the president of Bolivia, and it seems to be working out so far. This was quite a year, if you think of it. Nelson Rockefeller is out of commission and murdered by a team that's dead silent and slipped away very quietly. They offed him. Park's out of Korea, and Somoza out of Nicaragua, and Bolivia changing hands. Iran with the Shah out, those are amazing changes. I mean, if you just mark off the calendar, put a date there and choose your dictator and hope that he falls off. That might be a good way to start 1980. A little victory out in California at the time of People's Park. Maybe you don't remember those days, May 16th, 1969. 10 years ago, there was a vacant lot, 3 acres, a kiddie's playground, and a person, James Rector, who was watching riding from the rooftop, was killed by the sheriff, a shotgun blast. The people had built a place for their children, the flower people, the children growing up on the streets who left home and left somewhat the corporate structure and are trying to do their own thing. Just this last November, there was the breaking of axes on the cement. That's the area that Joni Mitchell wrote a song about. They paved paradise and put in a parking lot. Well, this November, the axes were breaking up the cement, and the men on the street were interviewing, and what are you doing? We're putting a garden back in the People's Park. The University of California is reducing their parking lot again to a People's Park. The pressure of the 10 years was so great that paradise is reversible, and that's the important thing. It really is important if people work or believe in something and work for it. The parking lot didn't stay, and flowers will soon grow, and people will be tearing out the cement and pavement, and children will be playing in a place where a man was shot down at the time of riots because the people believed in this so much and paraded, and it's very important. That is a victory. It's a small victory, but it's a victory of the David versus Goliath, again, the people versus the University of California and the pressure. Ford Motor Company losing $1 billion in U.S. operations this year. I just read yesterday Memorex is going broke. What else was good this year? Well, Jack Anderson came out with some interesting articles, and they're trial balloons, too. And when he writes them, they always surface 2 or 3 years later, and he was into subjects that I've worked on for so many years, and they were important. He talked about Operation Condor and Colonial Dignitat and the Chilean assassination teams that go all over the world that are linked to World War II and the Nazis. He did a long article on Project Paperclip and the Nazi war criminals and how they were brought to this United States and weren't cleared out. He did one on Richard Nixon and his office and Nikolai Maloxa and the Iron Guard. And those are important. They're very important because I've worked so hard on these subjects, and to get them into the establishment news media is a victory of sorts. It isn't the solution or the answer, but it means that the ground is cracked and pieces of the puzzle are surfacing, and you can't underestimate the pressure and the power of Jack Anderson and his syndicated column. There's a trial to exhume Lee Harvey Oswald. I've been claiming for years that he's not in that grave. They may turn down the suit in Texas. They've already turned down some of the legal challenges there. I doubt if the government could stand to open it, but at least it's being tried in a court of law. There's talk of exhuming Howard Hughes' body. Not much talk legally. Doug Wallace, the attorney, filed a suit a while back. I did tapes on that on the radio, but at least Jim Bacon and Brooks Randall, another syndicated columnist and a double of Oswald, are saying that Vance Cooper is buried in that grave and it's not Howard. These are little things, but for me, to see them in the major newspaper, whether it's the wire services or the San Francisco Examiner, or to be in contact with the people who are doing the pushing and shoving, trying to get a little light into a long era of death and tombs, is invigorating or refreshing. And, of course, there's new articles about Richard Nixon and his payoffs and his links to Jimmy Hoffa and organized crime and assassination teams down there. Just a little bit of that inkling out. So there is a way that some of this news is surfacing, and we have to follow it. And, of course, there's good news for Galileo. That was in the newspaper this week. The Pope has asked the Vatican to clear Galileo. He was convicted as a heretic in 1633, so we're very grateful to Pope John Paul II of Krakow, who wants to clear Galileo. He's carrying on his Inquisition court, and I mentioned last week the outrageous trial of the most liberal of the Catholic priests and trying to keep them from teaching. One of them just went against his orders and was teaching again this week. Bravo! People are catching on, thank God, instead of going into a hole and groveling and flagellating. The priest just got up and preached anyway, and that's all you have to do, is to ignore these thieves and these assassins and these liars and do your own thing and turn more people onto the truth, so that when they're put against the wall, they say, I won't believe you, I won't go, I won't fight, I won't buy your tickets, I don't believe what you're saying, you're a bunch of liars, and study world events and keep up with them, and like the priest that refused to take the orders from the Pope this week, knuckle under the pressure, and you'll find that more people are on your side than if you just give in and grovel and take orders from other people that are dangerous and stupid. I found some more good news this year. The last of the Wilmington 10 were paroled. Do you remember that case in North Carolina where Richard Nixon and Robert Martin in the Justice Department tried to get 9 black men and 1 white woman convicted in 1972? They said they firebombed a grocery store during a racial riot, and they were all framed. This was part of the COINTEL program of the government. Well, the very last one of those Wilmington 10 has been paroled. They sneak the others out very quietly. One is a divinity student at Duke University studying to be a minister, and he was just released. And there was one other piece of good news this last year. It just came recently. The Indians were awarded $52 million for land they lost in 1905. This is the northern North Dakota border of Canadian boundaries. They haven't been paid yet. They may be all murdered or poisoned before they ever get the $52 million. I don't know if the check is written out or if it's in their hands, but they've been told that they could get this money, and this was a land treaty, and they're supposed to be awarded $52 million. So the Wilmington 10 are out, and some American Indians finally got a payback for the ripoff. So 1979 wasn't all bad, was it? It always stands to reason that the people that are doing the most work and are the closest to stepping on toes usually suffer the hardest. I don't know how many of you are following the sentences of the Scientologists. They've been accused of conspiring to break into government offices and obstruct justice. The Scientologists are the only group. I'm not arguing with the good or the bad or anything about them as a religion or an organization, but they are the only group that consistently fight to get the FBI blackmailing off our back, to show the conspiracies of the Internal Revenue, to show the links of the Nazis, of Interpol, of drug traffic. They're consistent. Their research is good. They get government documents. And I'm going to give you again to start 1980 as the information on subscribing to Freedom. I take 3 papers. It's $5 a year. I cut out an article on one side and one on the other to file them, and I keep one whole. Their papers are filled with information. If you have $5, order one copy of everything they printed last year, and you'll have excellent research. They're doing the best work, and they're the most dedicated to having our minds free and our bodies not polluted with poisons. And, of course, it's natural that many of them had to go to jail for trying to get these documents and for infiltrating these agencies. But they've done a fantastic job, and if you can find $5 anywhere, support them and get the paper. And if some of you have some extra money, get subscriptions for friends and get copies, 10 copies a year of Freedom, because I don't have to spend all the time on the tapes then just repeating what they're printing. And there isn't a sentence hardly that's wasted. What they're writing about is the way the government controls us, closes in on us, the police state mentality, and it's done through documents they've gotten from the government's own hands to prove just what they are doing to us in terms of air control, medicine, street medical experimentations, and so forth. It's a very sad year that some of these Scientologists are going to prison. 6 were sentenced before, and now there's 4 more, and they are the most dedicated to getting the information out of any group that I can think of in my years of research. Consistently good work that's very valuable. I keep promising that in 1980 I will do some tapes on the National Labor Caucus. Some of my subscribers and my close personal friends believe in the National Labor Caucus, and I want to do an analysis of their book Dope and also their work. One of my objections to the Labor Caucus is they single certain names, and they have this linear view, and they close in, say, on Margaret Mead or her husband, Mr. Bateson, or they blame. Recently, I got some articles that were sent to me from Solidarity in which they blame Kim Philby for the breaking up of Iran and that he works with British intelligence. They attack Ralph Nader and always going after Kim Philby. And there's no supporting evidence of the Philby involvement or that Philby still isn't a Russian agent. And one of my objections is the simplistic taking of names. They have about 30 names, and they use them over and over and over again, and exclude a broad area that if you talk to them personally, they avoid. They never talk about, they never reveal, and they stay on one line and do not make the interconnecting links, and they have scapegoats. And I think that the Scientologists get documents from the government and hand them on to us so we can come to our own conclusion about which doctors and which names are used. And the Labor Caucus goes off on a branch and takes a route which I don't approve of very often and avoids areas that I know are not mentioned and which are important. Now, one of the best guidelines I have to the Labor Caucus is that I feel there's no time for modesty, that my work on the Kennedy assassination is maybe the most complete of any single person in the United States. I've read every book on the Kennedy assassination, over 200 books, every article, delved into National Archives documents, and kept files of information, just working on that for years, 8 years before I published a single article. So I feel that when names involve, say, in the Kennedy assassination, the conspiracies to kill the president or the senator, or to frame Ted Kennedy at Chappaquiddick, or to kill Martin Luther King, I know the operators, I know their names, I know the chain of command where the assassination teams come from, and I keep working on it. So as a guideline, if I take what the Labor Caucus says and compare it to what I know, when they write about the Kennedy assassination, and compare it to what I know where they're way off base. And we'll do a lot more of that in 1980. I'll go into it. But when I work with the Scientologists, whatever they print in Freedom can't be challenged because it's documents that they're using, and they're not blaming or fingering, and you can come to your own conclusions a lot of the time, but they're actually using government documents. And that's the best way to come to conclusions, is don't let somebody select your heroes or your villains for you, but read the material and form your own conclusions. Last week I talked about microwave ovens and the danger that Jodrell Bank was having in England with the astronomers and the radio waves because of the leaks in the ovens, the microwave ovens. And I got a letter, it's dated November 1979, from another researcher who has been keeping up with radiation and mind control and medical experiments. And he received information that we should look into that reminds me of the radiation I talked about last week. This letter that was sent to this friend said, at West Ever Air Force Base in Chippee, Massachusetts, they are using unwilling subjects, some unknowing, and children in top-secret microwave medical, scientific, and psychological experiments. The first tests have murdered, are dosing people and children with known cancer and other disease-causing microwave radiation for years, causing unidentifiable cancer, in quotes. Unidentifiable was reported by Army Medical Group at Columbia University and many others. They intentionally interfered with the treatment so the subjects would die. They destroy lives and health. They are torturing, ruining, hurting lives and the health and minds of children. They are degraded, dehumanized, sexually abused, and more. The tests are depriving decent citizens of all their rights of lives, health, freedom, dignity, and privacy. These tests have murdered and are killing citizens with secret microwave technology that is over 20 years old. This letter was mailed November 1979 to research in Pennsylvania, and the postmark came from Springfield, Massachusetts. I repeat, they claim it's coming from West Ever Air Force Base, Chippee, Massachusetts, is where the experiments are going on. We can close 1979 with one little news item out of the LA Times. 300 Indochinese refugees are going to join the California National Guard, according to Major General Frank J. Schober, Jr., the commander. The enlistees will be sworn in at Los Alamitos Reserve Training. They will pay the same benefits as other enlistees with no previous service, $419 a month. I wonder if any of those were part of the deadly CIA Operation Phoenix program that we're putting Indochinese or Vietnamese refugees into the California National Guard. That's a pretty heavy thought to leave you on. But our tape is over. Have a really good year. As I say, stay healthy and happy and inquisitive. Read a lot, write a lot to people, share the information, and speak up, because if ever there was a chance to do it, it's now, and it's later than we think, and there isn't going to be that much chance. If you get into a wartime situation, then for national security, we become silenced. So now's the time to shout. If you don't like it, shout. Have a good year. This is Mae Bressel in Carmel, California. I'll be with you next week.
Big Gates, come on, ça va. Do you feel good? Ich bin euer Conferencier. Je suis votre compère. I am your host and sage. Willkommen, bienvenue. Welcome.